know, I know. I'm not the first one to sleep you off your feet, but I believe we can make it. You know, you know. Back where I came from, that coming after me. With you, I think of escaping. And if you stay by my side, send to a place we can hide with any earthly delights. And even better,
we could be good. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The Saratoga Performing Arts Center will welcome back its resident companies, the New York City Ballet and the Philadelphia Orchestra, this summer for a celebratory season to feature masterworks from the classical canon alongside SPAC premieres and debuts. Before they arrive this summer, SPAC will host the Fraioffer Saratoga Jazz Festival, and the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center continues their residency. This all alongside education programs, the Jazz Fest coming up, culinary arts at SPAC events, and more. It is a year-round party up there, and we are going to learn more about what is coming up now. President and CEO of SPAC, Elizabeth Sobel, and Vice President of Artistic Planning at SPAC, Christopher Shiley, join us now. Welcome. Good to see you guys.
Great to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Of
nice
course.
To be back.
Absolutely. Always. We love talking about what's going on at SPAC. Where would you like to begin this morning as you try to wrap your leadership brain around months and months of events coming
up? Well, first of all, I got to give you like 5 stars for that intro. That was just perfect.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because, you know, it's been so interesting. I finished my 7th year back in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I look back, you know, there's that thing that they say that over the course of 7 years, the human body completely replaces its cells. And so you're kind of a new person. And I kind of feel like that, exhaustion aside.
Right. What a truly bizarre 7 years your 7 years have contained.
Oh my God.
Globally speaking.
Truly bizarre and yet transformative. And I really look back at the last 7 years, and I feel like SPAC is both itself in terms of our commitment to the ballet, our commitment to the orchestra, to jazz, and to all the great art forms that were part of our DNA. But at the same time, we have completely created and reimagined ourselves. And so it's so interesting that a lot of people still don't realize that we are a year-round programmer of all sorts of programming, from culinary, literary, visual arts, music, dance, theater, etc.
An incredible musician was scheduled to play this past Saturday, now rescheduled for April 10th. Would you like to tell us a little bit about Zakir Husseyn?
Yeah, I mean, Zakir Husseyn, truly one of the greatest musicians of his generation, preeminent Indian classical musician, tabla player. He's also done a lot of crossover work with Bela Fleck, Edgar Meyer, and many, many other groups, Grateful Dead as well. And so to have him at the Spa Little Theater, which is our new year-round venue, and just an incredible, intimate space, is just going to be such a great performance. We were so bummed to not be able to have that performance on Saturday. Obviously, the weather was not in our favor. Not even close. Not even remotely. Especially in Saratoga. It was really bad up there. But we are so thrilled that we were able to find an alternate date. So we were able to get Wednesday, April 10th, to have him come back and still do this performance with his trio Tisra, which we think is just going to be incredible. So hopefully folks can still join us now on April 10th as opposed to this past weekend.
Could you go further into describing or clarifying, I suppose, for me, the integration of Spa Little Theater events? It's a relatively new thing. You guys are programming that space now. How did that happen? What has it meant for the mission?
So the Spa Little Theater, a lot of people don't even know that it exists. Saratogians mostly do, but it's part of what we call the Roosevelt Campus, built in 1935. It's a 500-seat Jewel in the Crown venue that was originally written as built as a lecture hall, so it has a perfect natural acoustic. But since 2022...
Yep.
Chris has just taken over programming it year-round, and it's really, just talk about your thoughts about how you do that.
Yes,
it's been, yeah, I mean, it's been great. I mean, we've been limited. Well, the amphitheater is an incredible venue. Everybody's got their amphitheater story, but from a programming side, it's not without its challenges, right? I mean, it's 92 feet wide. It's 65 feet deep. It's 100 feet high. So there's very specific programs that fit on a stage that large and in a venue that large. And so the Little Theater's really given us this opportunity to bring artists like Zakir and these kinds of projects who have such a unique perspective and such an interesting point of view artistically for us to be able to share them with our community in a really meaningful way, I think that's really allowed us to expand our year-round offerings and expand our artistic offerings to the community. So we've been able to do theater and dance and world music and jazz and just kind of everything in that space. It's been really amazing and transformative.
I mean, groups like Hubbard Street, Palabolas, mm-hmm. Ballet X, I mean, to have those, that level of dance in the Spa Little Theater year-round is just really exciting, not to mention all the other genres.
What is the next thing you guys would like to make sure people know about as we continue our conversation here?
Well, since you're sitting across from us and you are doing the next one, our Culinary Arts at SPAC program has been one of the most exciting, quickly growing series that we have. And you can go on to SPAC.org and look more in more detail at what Culinary Arts is. But on April 11, we have Pinchos coming up, which is one of our Cook the Book style culinary arts at SPAC events, which features the food and drinks from a particular book. This one, in this case, Basque Country Food, which you are hosting.
I am hosting. Joe had a prior obligation and I zooped right in and stole
it.
You
did, and you got a great one. It is already sold out. I will say that like these events literally sell out in 48 hours. That's how popular they are. And then we have another coming up on May 8th called Flavors of the Farm with Emma Hurst, who has a new book coming out. So again, they get sold out, but I'd love for listeners to just know about it because these are really extremely interesting, compelling, delicious, nothing else like it, events.
Yeah.
And so SPAC.org, looking up culinary arts for people to understand what we're doing there.
Yeah, and two events in the Little Theater as well. After Zakir, we have a special Earth Day concert with Laura Downs and the Miro Quartet. We're very excited. This is a project that they actually developed in summer of 23 at SPAC, and they kind of were workshopping it, and now they're bringing the full version of this program that kind of looks at Earth from Haydn all the way up to Clarissa Saad from 1700 to 2024, and all these sort of musical depictions of our Earth. And then we finish on May 11th with Chamber Music Society closing their spring season before returning later on in the summer for their summer events.
I might mention that, you know, this is the second year we've done something on Earth Day, and
yes.
And that's really an expression of, you know, we are located in one of the most stunningly beautiful natural locations anywhere, and we really take our role as stewards of the Earth and connection to our planet and the natural beauty around us really seriously. So we're constantly thinking about how to do programming that talks about that.
You are going to have on May 31st the Summer Spectacular, a season kickoff. It's a fundraiser, but it's also a party. And tell
yes.
me about what you have on the docket for this year's Spectacular.
So I would urge people again to go to spec.org, Spectacular, and look at the video, because the video just does more to tell you what this event does than any words I personally can summon. It is a party. It's a cocktails on the stage. It's a culinary dinner. It's a party tent with live music. It's fireworks. It's a DJ dance party, after party, after all the other festivities are done. Last year, it sold out. It was a magnificent event. And it's really become one of our signature amazing gatherings in our beautiful campus to just celebrate what's coming in the summer.
Tell me, we mentioned the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. They're wrapping up their spring season shortly, but we'll be back for the summer. Why is it important for you to continue the relationship with the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center? Of course, I could speculate as to why it's their chamber music's important. They're legends in the genre, of
right.
course, but
right.
tell me why it's important to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be their 11th summer with us. We celebrated their 10th anniversary last year. And as you said, they are legends in that space. And David Finkel and Wu Han, their co-artistic directors, put together such thoughtful and curated programs and that really celebrate the sort of essence of chamber music and that special connection that comes from that small ensemble working together in this sort of democratic way that chamber music offers, that I think is really beautiful. And then to have that in the Spa Little Theater, such a perfect space for chamber music and for these programs. So it's a very important part of who we are. We're thrilled that we've been able to keep it going now throughout the year, but I think that those summer programs are still sort of the anchor of their work with us, and we're thrilled to have them back.
Beautiful. And then at the end of June, there are, of course, popular music events throughout, but Live Nation runs those. They'll be there. You share the campus. We all know how that goes. But Saratoga Jazz Festival is at the end of June. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this year's Jazz Fest?
We are very much psyched for this year's Jazz Fest. The lineup has just really come together in a wonderful way. Our partner, Danny Melnick, who works with us on that, I think he'll be back later to talk a little more detail about it. But Saturday night, we anchored by our headliner, Lake Street Dive, who I think was playing us in
earlier. That's what we chose for the music into the interview.
Yeah, this will be our first time having them at the venue at SPAC, so we're really excited to welcome them, one of my personal favorite bands. And then on Sunday, an incredible lineup. We have this sort of female artist-led lineup this year on both days between Lake Street and then on Sunday with Nora Jones and Leve, who's a recent Grammy winner. We have Samara Joy also on Saturday. So
just
between
tremendous.
Both days, yes, tremendous. Just brought the house down last year on our little stage. So we're excited to have Samara coming back for the main stage this year as well. And just going to be two unbelievable days of music making, multiple stages, 25 bands. So just going to be, it's one of our favorite weekends of every summer, for sure.
What does the Jazz Fest mean to you, Elizabeth?
Oh, my God. First of all, it is kind of the summer kickoff of programming, but it's the time of the year that I look forward to the most. Just having those two full days of coming over and throwing yourself completely into being surrounded by thousands and thousands of people who are there just to listen to great music all day long. It's amazing.
It's fantastic. We have the classical groups coming through. Do you want to give us some teasers? Tickets on sale now at SPAC.org for, let's start with what comes first this year, the New York City Ballet.
Yeah, their 58th season at SPAC. Wow. It's
going to
be an amazing week. They do four totally different programs over the course of the week, seven different performances. We start the entire week with the return of On and Off Stage. This is a program that the idea of which kind of was created during the pandemic, and we've been able to build on it and expand it. It's really become kind of a preview and a kickoff to celebrate their residency. The company goes through excerpts of all the ballets that are featured that week. They kind of give you some inside information into the choreography, the costumes. It's a really fun program for anyone who wants to learn more about ballet, who maybe feels like it's not for them and wants to kind of understand a little bit more about it. And it all ends with a really celebratory dance party at the end of the evening as well, just really about celebrating their return to Saratoga. And then we go into their main stage programs. We begin, it's their 75th year as a company, so it's been a big celebratory year for them overall in New York City. And we are their last U.S., I think they are going to Europe, but we're their last U.S. celebration of that 75 years. And so we wanted to make sure we honored their legacy with George Balanchine and his ballets. And so we have an Evening of Jewels. And then we also have a program that celebrates his work with Swan Lake, which we had last year and was a huge hit. And we just felt like we needed to bring it back again. And Stars and Stripes, which is one of the most virtuosic spectacle ballets that they really have in their repertoire. It's just everyone in the company out and really a fun way to end an evening. And then we also have a program called Contemporary Choreography, which is really celebrating the innovation of New York City Ballet and their ability to sort of evolve dance over the years. And so that will be anchored by a piece, The Times Are Racing, by
Justin Peck.
Yeah. Which we're really excited to have as well.
It's listed here as Justin Peck's Sneaker Ballet.
Yes.
The Times Are
Racing.
Yeah,
the Sneaker Ballet. Yeah, exactly. It's set to some electronic music as well. So it's a very different approach to ballet. And as I said, I think it just speaks to how they've evolved as a company over the years. And we have some other great programming on there as well with Ulysses Dove's Red Angels and Pam Tanowitz, Gustave Legray. So just going to be a really fun evening that kind of showcases another side of New York City Ballet. So.
Justin Peck, of course, about to make it's not his Broadway debut, but a piece he's been working on with Sufjan Stevens is the book writer's name is Jackie Sibley's Drury. It's called Illinois.
Yeah.
It was at BARD a few years ago. It was in Chicago. It's in Brooklyn, I think, now, and coming to Broadway soon.
Yeah.
So Justin's always busy.
Oh, my God. No, he's
just
really
creating.
Dynamic, amazing.
Yeah, truly. We're thrilled to have the relationship we have with him, and his rise over the last several years has just been incredible.
Yeah. So. And he's grown up in New York, and it's back.
Well, truly, he kind of got his choreographic start here in many ways. So it's very exciting.
Really incredible. And of course, the Philadelphia Orchestra will come through. Tell me about this year's Philly Orchestra season.
I'm gonna hand to Chris, but I just want to say, like, you know, having the Philadelphia Orchestra, one of the greatest orchestras in the world, with Yannick Nezet-Séguin, one of the most in-demand conductors in the world, You know, they give us 12 completely different programs over the course of 3 weeks, which they do not do anyplace else in the world. And I might also mention that the New York City Ballet, SPAC, is the only place in the world that they come every year with the full orchestra and the full ballet. Mm-hmm. So it's really incredible. And I'm going to hand it to Chris because the work that he does with the Philadelphia Orchestra to really create a masterful three-week schedule that kind of speaks to something for everybody. I know
that really
does. It's really quite extraordinary. Handing off to you, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, as you said,
You've got a number of them.
Yeah, I know. It's really came together really well this year. We're really excited. As Elizabeth said, we try to have something for everyone. So we'll start with kind of the core of what Philadelphia Orchestra does and that core classical work. And we have some really exciting programs. Yannick Nezès, again, their music and artistic director, will return for a special program that is only being done here in Saratoga. He's not done this with Philadelphia previously on the season. So we're really excited. It's Strauss's Alpine Symphony, one of the truly monumental epic works for symphony, kind of taking you up a summit and a journey on top of a mountain. And it's just an incredible
Alpine Symphony at the end of the Avenue of the Pines.
Exactly.
I think we need to rename it the Adirondack Symphony.
Yeah.
See if we can do that.
Truly.
Call Strauss. Wait.
As you hear the creak in the background, it's going to be a magical night.
It sounds beautiful.
We also have Carmina Burana with Fabio Luisi, who, you know, unfortunately wasn't able to join us last year due to illness, but he's back this year. And we're so excited to have him back doing two programs anchored by Carmina Burana. We have Yo-Yo Ma, who also wasn't able to join us, sadly, last year. So he's coming back to do the Dvorak Cello Concerto. We have Gil Shaham returning after an incredible performance of Vivaldi's Four Seasons last year.
He's unbelievably fascinating to watch. I mean, I know he doesn't need me. You guys don't need me to tell you that he's an amazing violinist.
No, but it's absolutely
really
true.
Is.
He's one of the greats of his generation.
Just exudes joy, I think, in his performance. And then we have an incredible slate of conductors this year as well. I mean, I mentioned Yannick and Fabio. We also have David Robertson on opening night doing Tchaikovsky Spectacular and a special celebration of Rhapsody in Blue, which turns 100 this year in 2024. So we wanted to make sure we marked that. That's performed with Marcus Roberts Trio, which is just a wonderful version of that work. And then we have a really young up-and-coming conductor, Dalia Stasevska, joining us for the Gil program, as well as an all-orchestra program featuring Dvorak's Eighth Symphony and Bartok Concerto for Orchestra. So that's all on the core classical side.
Right.
And then, of course, for something a little more on the sort of pop shows and mainstream programming, we have this guy, John Legend, coming to join us, which we're very excited about. Obviously, a tremendous artist.
With
the Philadelphia Orchestra.
And
to see that kind of collaboration, we're thrilled to do. This will be his orchestra debut.
I hadn't heard of him doing this before, I could have missed it, but...
No,
yeah,
this is very, very new project for him to be doing orchestra dates, and he's only doing a handful. So it's a really special project for us to be having. We're so excited to welcome him.
That's on August 7th, John Legend with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Yes. And then we also have Angelique Kidjo, who was part of our Jazz Fest last year.
She's unreal.
And she is also doing a brand new orchestral program. She has an album on Spotify of orchestral music, which is just phenomenal. And so she's doing the next version of that. It just debuted this past week, actually, in Germany. And we're so excited to be bringing that. It'll be only the third performance, and again, her debut of this program with the orchestra. And then on the family night, we continue with Harry Potter. We're in year 5 at Hogwarts, so very excited to be continuing. They're such fun nights, and people come, and they dress up, and they just have a great time. And then we close the entire residency with a family-friendly night, the 30th anniversary, which did make me feel old, of The Lion King,
it's
the original
gonna
Lion King. Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's going to happen. I mean... You know it came out when you were a kid. You're still alive.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I was not a kid when it came out. So that's like times two. And then you'll see.
Whoops. So the original,
Lion King with orchestra. The orchestra plays the score live while the film shows on a large LED screen. There's just some of the funnest nights we have. We did Jurassic Park last year, which was, you know, incredible. And so to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of The Lion King as a closing night is going to be really special. So
that is August 17th, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, August 3rd, Angelique Kidjo with the Philadelphia Orchestra on August 2nd. And of course, ticket information and all of these dates available at SPAC.org. We have just about a minute before we have to wrap up. Elizabeth, let me get a closing remark from you, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, I just, every year it just seems to get better. I think Chris and I look at each other at the end of the season and go, oh my God, how are we going to top that?
Yeah.
And he did it.
Good job,
and
Chris.
I think the other thing just to remember that in addition to all this amazing programming, our education program is also knocking it out of the park. We've grown from serving 5,000 to now 50,000 students all over the Capital Region.
It's unbelievable.
We're in 8 counties. We're in the North Country. We partner with over 125 other not-for-profit organizations to take the arts out into the community and bring kids to our campus. And to the SPAC School of the Arts, which launched in 2021. So I just could not be more thrilled and proud to work with such an amazing group of people.
I think that the feeling is mutual. I know it is from where I'm sitting.
100%.
I'm only able to observe what I'm able to observe chair over here.
Well, and partnership with you guys and all the stuff that we do together at SPAC is really special. So thank you. We love WAMC.
And thank you. WMC loves SPAC. We really appreciate you all. SPAC.org for dates and ticket information. You can learn more about everything we mentioned and more that is coming up year-round at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center in Saratoga Springs, New York. Elizabeth Sobel and Christopher Shiley, thank you, as always, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.